Welcome back to the Paul Edwards Program. Remember, information, commentary, and podcast are always online at godandculture.com. Here again is Paul Edwards.
John Curran is an award-winning film director and screenwriter. He was nominated for the Australian Film Institute Award for Best Direction for the drama Praise, and he won the Film Critics Circle of Australia Award for Best Director and the International Critics Award at the Toronto International Film Festival, best known probably for his work as director in 2006, The Painted Veil, with Edward Norton. He has just completed work, actually not just, but coming out this Friday is the work he completed production on this summer, the movie Stone, starring Edward Norton and Robert De Niro. It is getting released in select cities across the United States on Friday. It will open here in Detroit on Friday, October 22nd. And John, it's great to have you back here in Detroit and finally on the air with me here on the Paul Edwards Program. How you doing?
Good, Paul. It's good to talk to you again.
Let's talk about this movie, Stone. How did I come to be in this movie is the big question that's on everybody's mind.
It was originally set in the South, and for various reasons, Michigan came up as an option to shoot for financial reasons, really, because of the tax credit, etc. But, mm-hmm. This is the end of 2008, the beginning of 2009, and, by this point I had Edward on board and Robert De Niro. And we recognized in this story of a man who, ultimately is in the midst of a spiritual existential crisis, that setting it in and around, in Michigan, outside of Detroit, it could capture the mood of what the country's going through, the state, the city's going through in some way. Without it being directly about the issues going on, I think there was a mood in the air that we wanted to tap into. And I wanted to create, I didn't want to just shoot someplace and if you're lucky you see a license plate, so you go, oh, this is where they are. I wanted to feel in some way that we knew where we were, and so that dictated the research we did in terms of Edward's character. And for me, the sort of layering of ideas in sound and music that would help locate the film. And one of them was I started listening to Talkback Radio, and I came across your show while I was shooting, and I had one of the production assistants at the time get me a lot of tapes of the show, and then I edited the film in Australia, and I kept listening to your stuff and started cutting it into the film, which wasn't the original plan. It was going to be a very small background thing that actually became a very big idea in the film. It freed me from having the characters have to openly discuss what was on their minds in terms of their questions of faith or ideas of faith or notions of God, whatever was in that area. It was almost unrealized by these characters until a certain point in the film, but I think your voice helped almost become an inner voice of these characters in a really effective way. And the more people saw, started seeing the rough cuts, they're like, wow, who's that guy? I really like that radio voice, and probably, if anything, I was worried about putting too much of it in. I know that you wouldn't share my opinion there, Paul. But
I probably would. I you were gracious enough, John, to come to Birmingham and screen the movie with me. And I'll tell you, hearing my voice come back over a theater sound system is quite frightening. I can't imagine what it's going to do for the audience.
Yeah, I'm sure you're somewhat used to it, though, aren't you?
No, I hate the sound of my own voice. I as you know, John, I'm also a pastor, and I tell my congregation all the time I wouldn't walk across the street to hear myself preach. But let's talk about the film, because that's what we've got you here for. Robert De Niro, Edward Norton, give us without giving away the plot, obviously, or the outcome. Who are these characters? And this seems to me, and I've seen the film, it seems to me to be, ambiguous at some points, but very unambiguous on notions of theology, morality, worldview, and God. It's not an evangelical Christian film, but you're dealing with some pretty heavy duty issues theologically, spiritually, in the lives of these two characters.
Well, when I first read the script, that what I thought I was going to be reading was a sort of a cat and mouse thriller about a parole officer, a parole counselor in a prison who is about to retire, who meets a prisoner who's up for parole, and this prisoner uses his wife on the outside to seduce this counselor in an effort to better his chances of getting out. You know, that's the setup. And I thought, okay, this is going to go in one of two ways. It's going to be, you know, murder and mayhem or some kind of action, you know, whatever. And where it went to was a very different place, very surprising to me, where, you know, ultimately it was, two guys at two wildly different points in their life, almost switching places, you know, one of them going through an authentic spiritual transformation. And for me and for Edward and for De Niro was, you know, what does that mean? How do you portray that on film, you know, without it going overboard into the mind of this character? How can you handle the idea of four characters? Because it's not just the prisoner and the counselor. It's the prisoner's wife and the counselor's wife. It's really a four-hander. And the story is about four characters really in different kinds of prisons. And it really motors on one simple device, which is who's gonna stay in, who's gonna get out, you know, metaphorically speaking, literally speaking. And I hadn't seen a film that, you know, with mainstream top actors really chewing up scenes discussing these sorts of notions. And I would argue that whether you're a believer or not, everybody battles with the inner question of God and faith and true spirituality and sin and redemption. All these things, I think, you know, in whatever faith system that you embrace, you know, these are very common to a lot of people. And it surprises me that there isn't more of an attempt to try to bring it into some sort of mainstream film that isn't necessarily affirming. I don't think that the point of this film is to affirm anything. And I love the way that you came into this, because I said, Paul, you know, I can't say that this film is going to embrace a single point of view. It's almost as if I'm giving you a seat at the table, and you have to accept that everyone's going to get their own chance to speak. And you really dug that. I love the way that you kind of said, I think that there should be more, you know, there should be more films or stories or shows, whatever, that do banter around these notions, because, you know, if you can't defend it, how can you believe in it or something?
Right.
I'm paraphrasing you.
Well, you're paraphrasing me fairly well. You know, I just told the audience before we got you on, John, that a lot of them are gonna see this film because and when they see it, they're going to say, I can't believe Paul lent his voice to this. I mean, it's got nudity in it. It's got violence in it. It's got language in it. I mean, after all it does, it's centered in a prison environment. But as I told you at lunch that day, John, the thing that I always try to think through is, okay, what is the context? Is what's happening on the screen, is it gratuitous, or is it reflecting life? And I think sometimes Christians, and especially the conservative variety of evangelical Christians, of which I proudly am one, we sometimes want our theology boxed and packaged with a bow. And, you know, when we talk about sin, we don't want to see sin. We just want it with a theological label and look at a three-letter word. We don't want it displayed for us. And yet the Bible, the rape of Tamar in the Old Testament, incest,
sure,
all of the bad things that happened in the Bible, probably NC-17 rated at a certain level. But what I told the audience, John, is, look, context is everything. And for me, how does it resolve? How does the plot resolve? Does it resolve redemptively? And by redemptively, I don't mean positively. I don't mean, hey, the guy becomes a Christian. So many Christian films, quote unquote, are all about, hey, at the end, the main character trusts Jesus, and that means it's a successful Christian film. No, for me, resolving redemptively, it may not be that the guy comes to you know, that kind of climactic understanding of who Jesus is. And without giving away the end of your film, and we talked about at lunch the way your film ends, for me, that film resolves redemptively. And for that reason, I'm proud to be a part of it.
Well, I was very, very conscious of it didn't work for me if there was anything gratuitous in the film. And that includes, you know, pandering to financiers that want to put some more gratuitous action in it or silly plot points that make it, you know, move faster, those sorts of things, too. You know, it works on all levels. I wanted it to be authentic. And authentic, it's certainly a cautionary tale, and it's a morality tale. And, you know, I agree with you that the ending, you know, and I don't want to say too much either, you know, because I think that the point of this film is to pose as many questions as it answers, not in the lazy way, but in a way where, you know, you come out with somebody and it's already happening, you know, in all the screenings, people come out and I sit there and I can hear people arguing about what they think it's about and what happened. And that's very, you know, flattering and, and that's the intention of me and everybody that's in it is to hopefully have a number of points of view on it and provoke discussions in terms of the film itself, but also the broader questions of faith and spirituality and redemption, you know, the themes that the film explores. You know, and it's a big call. I mean, I don't think that it sounds ponderous if I talk about that aspect of it too much, because you know, you want the film to be ultimately an enjoyable experience to watch, and that's kind of what drove most of my ideas. But I think the ending for me, it was important that it ultimately added up to a cautionary tale. And that is something I feel. I mean, I feel like it's an edgy Christian film. I mean, I said that from the very beginning. You know, I'm a Christian, you know, from the way that I was brought up. And whatever I believe or don't believe is beside the point. I feel like what I wanted to explore, what I wanted to give to the dialogue of that you're part of every day in your job, was my point of view, and my point of view would have a little more probably edge to it, and it would have a little more, you know, rough language, because that's honest to me. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't follow the constructs of, as you pointed out, a Bible story which has to use the extremes of temptation and violence to get across its points, you know.
John Curran is my guest. He's the director of the forthcoming film Stone. It just completed production this summer and is releasing in select cities around the country on Friday. It will come to theaters here in Detroit on Friday, October 22nd. It stars Robert De Niro, Edward Norton, and what cities is it opening in? I know it's opening in New York and Los Angeles.
It starts in New York, and it's fairly traditional, these plans. It usually starts in New York and L.A. the first week, and then it expands to about 30 markets. I think Detroit is the second or third week. I don't have the schedule in front of me. By the third week, you know, we're up to around 130 screens, something like that.
It opens here Friday, October 22nd. So that's 2 weeks. Friday. So, when you think about this film, is it a film that deals with the question of who are you to judge? I mean, watching the film, I get the parole counselor played by De Niro. He's got issues in his life. And is this really, not ultimately, but is one of the questions that you're trying to deal with, is this whole notion of who are we to sit in judgment on another human being?
When I first read it, and it might be because of some of my early formative experiences with, you know, really imaginative stories, were probably Bible stories or something. I have a tendency to reduce, to try to get a handle on scripts. I in my mind, I break them down into the fable that's at the heart of them. So I know, you know, you can attribute characters of protagonists and antagonists to different people, and you know, those sorts of things. And I, you know, for this always, to me, struck me as having kind of a biblical tone to it, a parable. And I saw it as really, you know, it was really interesting to me, the idea of the story of a kind of, you know, St. Peter at the gates, you know, sitting in judgment of others. But then what the story is about is that, you know, he's suddenly suffering a crisis of faith and doesn't really have, he's quietly starting to lose a sense of confidence in himself that he's really in any position to judge anybody, you know? And I thought, well, if that's the bones of this script, then that's a really interesting idea to me to explore.
Why, John, as the director of this film, why should evangelical Christians, the variety that listen to this kind of Christian talk radio, why should they go see your film?
Well, you know, I'm not a, you know, an evangelical Christian, you know, but I've certainly have grown up around a number of friends and family members who are, you know, and it's pretty easy to put anybody into a box and say this is the way they think or this is what they won't go and see. Or, I mean, I would say that sometimes I, as a filmmaker in the film industry, become very suspicious of films that clearly pander, you know, to an affirmative kind of film that then they just blanket mass market towards that audience as a way of appealing to, a one-dimensional view of them. I think that everybody's a complex human being, you know, and I think that this film, you know, presents a couple of devout people who are very complex. They're flawed. They're, you know, in some instances, you know, they're trying to, you know, ignore a part of their life in the past that painted them as you know, a deep sinner. And I feel like it's a much more sort of human reflection of what I think the average Christian would go through in their lives, in a way where, you know, maybe this guy's far worse, you know, maybe he's on the fringe of being a true Christian. And to answer your question, I think that, you know, not everybody's squarely in the box of being a firm believer. I think there's people that are on the fringes that are trying,
right.
And I guess this is what this story is about. And I think that's just as relevant to somebody that's in the box of being a truly devout Christian, and someone that's outside the box that doesn't even understand it. You know what I mean? And I wanted the film that appeals to both boxes, to people that are in it and out it, in a way that was edgy enough where it felt authentic, that it wasn't stripping away a lot of, you know, people. You know, people that have affairs are naked, you know, and they're not necessarily enjoying themselves during it, you know, and that's what I wanted to portray. You know, there's some have anger issues, you know, that they're really trying to control, and I wanted that to be authentic. So it was really just more kind of trying to be true to the material and be authentic with it, but I really tried to make it in a way where it wasn't alienating or placing judgment on anybody. And that was the most difficult thing about the film, is how do you make a film like this and not come up with a firm point of view that alienates somebody? And you know, tonally, I think you would agree that there are going to be some people that maybe when they hear the word nudity or they hear swear words, whatever, it's just not for them. And I accept that. I accept that with any film that I make. But I hope that people recognize that it's a film that really honestly tries to explore these notions and ideas in a really current, contemporary way, you know, without pandering to just, you know, it trying to spoon feed it in a way just to kind of, you know, so it goes down easy and that a lot more people can come in and enjoy it so that the filmmakers and the producers can make more money off it. You know, it's I'm in a business and we want people to see the films, but this film was made as a sort of a challenging film, and I feel very honored and privileged that I somehow got these actors and the financiers to back a film that challenges the norm as opposed to just buying into it.
Well, I'm excited for members of this audience to see it, and I encourage members of this audience to see it, with the caveat that it is not your typical quote-unquote Christian film. It wrestles certainly with some deep theological moral issues, And it is a thinking Christians film. And I want to encourage members of this audience to go see it. It's Stone. It releases in 2 weeks, Friday, October 22nd, here in Detroit, starring Robert De Niro, Edward Norton, and my voice interspersed occasionally throughout the film. And John Curran is the director of the film. And John, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the trust,
Paul,
and confidence.
Look, I would love to come back on the show a couple weeks after it's out. I'd be very happy, and it'd be really interesting for me to have a discussion, a call-in discussion, to hear people's comments, good or bad, about the film.
We'll do that. We will definitely do that, John.
Part of the process for me. I'd love to get that kind of feedback.
You give me an hour, and we'll do it a couple of weeks after the film releases, and we'll hear from this audience about what they thought of it. But John, thanks so much for allowing me to be a part of it. It's a joy to be a part of it, and thanks for giving me my 15 minutes.
I think your 15 minutes is going to stretch into a half an hour now.
All right, John, we'll talk again.
All the best, Paul.